Well, tonight we're going to look at one of the greatest leaders of the Bible, Moses. In fact, most would say that Moses is the greatest leader of the Old Testament. And here's one thing that is for sure about Moses is that he is a leader that is one of the most well-known people of history. I mean, do you realize that every major religion considers Moses as a leader? And everybody has heard that name, Moses. It's amazing how famous this guy is, but he is one of the greatest leaders of Scripture. He is the one that the Lord chose to lead his people, Israel, out of the bondage of Egypt and to lead them quite literally through the wilderness. I mean, he actually led them through the wilderness. And think about this, it was probably between 1 and 2 million people. One would be really conservative. Close to 2 million people. And get this, no technology. I mean, you know, preachers nowadays can't preach to more than about 100 people without a sound system. I don't know how they communicate. They didn't have cell phones. You know, let's text everybody. They didn't have a radio. They didn't have a TV. How do you lead 1 million or 2 million people? And they didn't have any machinery. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have any trucks or boats or planes or... This is like a city of 1 million to 2 million people moving across the wilderness. Absolutely amazing. God had a leader. Not everybody's called to lead millions. But as I said, everybody that knows the Lord can lead somebody. There's somebody that you can influence, somebody that you can help find their way. So, Moses led the people out of bondage. And you know what? Somebody you know might need to be led out of bondage. You might be supposed to teach somebody to fear the Lord. You got kids in your household? Maybe there's somebody that you need to help find their way to have a real relationship with the Lord. But if we understand the principles that made Moses a great leader, it'll make us a better leader, no matter what the size of our influence might be. But Moses' story starts off in Exodus chapter 2. Pharaoh had given a decree that all of the male children should be thrown into the river. Pretty brutal time. Sometimes we think that the days we are living in are the most wicked. I can assure you they are not. Such a brutal, wicked time. Think about it, it happened again in Jesus' day when Jesus was born and Herod sent out a decree that all the male children under 2 years of age would be put to death. But that's what happened in Moses' time. They were afraid that the Egyptians were afraid the Israelites would become too powerful. They said, they're already more powerful than us. And so they wanted to get rid of all the male children so that they wouldn't continue to grow and increase in power. They didn't mind the women, but they were afraid of those little boys, and so they wanted them all put to death. But Moses' mother, instead of just throwing him into the river, she put him in a basket. And I'm going to tell the story because I know most of you know the story, but I'm going to tell it really brief, but I want everybody, and I don't want to take for granted that everybody knows the stories from the Bible, because I'm going to tell you, growing up, I didn't hardly know anything from the Bible. But Moses' mother puts him in a basket in the river, and Pharaoh's daughter finds this baby boy floating in the river, and she takes him to raise him as her own. In the providence of God, God can do anything. She needs somebody to take care of this baby boy. And so who does she find in the providence of God? She gets Moses' own mother to take care of him in her household. Now, that's God moving and God working. And we sing it tonight. Sometimes you don't see it. He's still working. But God had a plan throughout all of this. And here's one of the amazing things. You know, when you consider Moses' mother, we could just do a leadership teaching on Moses' mother, because she had just a short time with Moses as a young boy. And yet, because of her influence, it impacted who he was the rest of his life. She instilled in him a love and a compassion for his own people. And I'm just telling you that you might not be influencing millions, but what if you're raising somebody that's going to impact millions? I'm just telling you that all of us can make a difference in eternity, and God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. So we look at this guy Moses tonight, and not only because of the magnitude of the people that he led, but also some of the characteristics about this guy, some of the things about this man were exceptional, but they challenge us to rise to a new level in leadership and who we are in the Lord. Moses grew up in the ways of Egypt. He was educated in Egypt. He had this position as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I want to read from Acts 7:22. It says, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. This is what the scripture says about him. He was mighty in words and deeds. You see, Moses had all the right stuff to be a leader. I'm talking about in the eyes of the world. He was mighty in words and mighty in deeds. He had the power. He had influence. He had the education. He had everything, the position that he needed in order to be the guy that helped God's people. Here he is living in this nation where God's people have been oppressed and in bondage for hundreds of years. And he is in this position, mighty in word and deed. And he has power and prestige and influence. Seems like a perfect setup. Well, that's the way man works. But Moses had a really bad start as a leader. You read on in Acts 7 and verse 23, it says, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. He hid his body in the sand. Not a great start for a godly leader. He's trying to help his people, but he's going about it the wrong way. He's trying to accomplish their deliverance in his own strength instead of God's. And one of the things that we can learn from Moses right here is that if we've made mistakes, if we've messed up, if we've blown it as a leader, as a parent, guess what? God can redeem and restore, and God can still use you. Because the deed he had done was found out, because it was known, Moses fled to Midian, where he stayed for 40 years. 40 years. So at 40 years old, it seemed like everything was set in motion, everything was perfect. for him to step up and lead God's people. But instead, he ends up being exiled for 40 years. I usually call it to Midian, the backside of the desert, out in nowhere. And for 40 years, he takes care of sheep, shepherds, sheep. A really bad start for leading God's people. But the book of Hebrews tells us this about Moses. In Hebrews 11, 24 through 26, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." You see, Moses, even at 40, even though he blew it, he chose to suffer with the people of God than to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And you see, this guy that had it all, I mean, think about it from his point of view. He had it all. He had everything that this world had to offer, but he chose to give it all up to help the people of God. And here's the first principle of this, of leadership we see in this great leader, is that he put others before himself. He cared about the people. It was never about him. It was always about God's people. And this is such an important principle of leadership from the scripture that's so backwards from what we see in leadership in the world. Biblical leadership, it is never about us. We learned this from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Jesus said in Mark 10, 45, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so Moses is that kind of leader, that he's willing to lay down all of the treasures, all of the prestige, the wealth, position, all of it, so that he could help God's people. You know, I'm just kind of fast forward here for a second, but later when they were in the wilderness, there was a time when God was ready to destroy the children of Israel because of their disobedience. And the Lord just tells Moses, "I'm just going to start over with you." And Moses intercedes for the people. I'll just read from Psalm 106, verse 23. It says, "Therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he destroy them." You know, it's just another example of how Moses had such a heart for the people. He cared about the people. It was always about the people. And it's a principle that we need to always remember in any way that we have the opportunity to serve in leadership, that it's never about us. Whatever we do, it's not for us. Nobody gets on this stage for themselves. Nobody. And that's one thing I appreciate about our worship team. We have servants. We don't have anybody up here trying to be a superstar. And, you know, nobody's up here because they're getting paid. Just saying. It's not about that. But really in any area of the church or however we serve, it's not about us. It's about those that we lead, always. Such an important biblical principle of leadership. Moses had this terrible start, but he chose right to put the people above his own comfort. He chose the shepherd's staff instead of the king's scepter. He chose people over possessions. He chose God's purpose over worldly power and prestige. But think about this, that shepherd's staff had way more power and authority than any king's scepter ever did, because it was the power of God. He refused the fame of Egypt. But you know what? If he would have accepted it, if he would have embraced it, none of us would have ever heard his name. You talk about famous, Moses is famous. But he wouldn't have been if he went the world's way. It's amazing how God moves and works. The next leadership principle we need to see in Moses, this great leader, is that it's not about our strengths, but God's power. See, Moses tried it wrong the first time at 40. He had everything going for him, but he tried to do it in his strength, to do it his own way. And you know, so often I see this and hear this where people talk about a certain person and they'll say, oh, they're just a natural leader. But so much of the time with the world, you see, it's more about looks and personality and talents. It's about their strength and their ability, but not so in the kingdom. You see, Moses had all those things at 40, and yet he couldn't do with the job because it was about his ability. He thought that he was going to be able to step up and to get it done. But it's not our strengths that God needs. And I have to tell you, though, I'm concerned often about this generation of the church in America, because too often we think that we need the celebrity and we need the rich and we need the powerful to get the job done. Wrong, wrong, and wrong. What we need is God. We need God's touch. We need God's power. And he will not share his glory with another. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through about 30, he says he's chosen the weak things of this world, not the strong. He's chosen the foolish things, not the wise. He's chosen the things that are nothing to bring down the things that are. And you know why he says he did that? Because no flesh will glory in his presence. So we just need to get rid of that mindset and that attitude about how that God needs some famous people. Listen, if he wants somebody famous, he'll make them famous. We have done those people a disservice when we grab a celebrity and we stick them in a pulpit. They're a novice, and the scripture says especially not to do that. It's bad for them and it's bad for the people listening to them. You don't grab somebody that just got saved and say, oh, well, you're a big shot in the world, so you're a big shot in the church. Wrong, 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 wrong. Moving along. Moses changed in that 40 years. A lot happened on the inside of him. He might have been the natural leader at the beginning, but God did a great work in him in Midian for 40 years. This rejected leader, he's no longer seeking to be a leader. He's just living out his days as a shepherd. But God has a plan. And he's been working on this shepherd. Here's a very important leadership principle. God chooses who he uses. It is the Lord who raises up. It's the Lord who promotes. He calls and he chooses who he uses. Moses just being a shepherd one day, and all of a sudden, God calls to him from a burning bush. Exodus 3:10, the Lord says, come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. It was God that chose Moses. He was not a self-appointed leader. Not a self-proclaimed leader. You see, here's what our culture says. It's the guy who steps forward and says, I'm the guy, I can fix it. I'm the guy y'all need. Well, come on, this is what they're all telling us. I'm the man of power for the hour. Not Moses. He was not self-appointed. He was God called, God chosen, God appointed. It was God's doing. Earlier we read in Psalm 106:23 that Moses was God's chosen one. Amazing, the scripture says it so plainly. It's much better to be God's choice than man's choice. You know what I'm talking about right now? I want to clarify, because I believe that all of us need to be leaders and all of us need to be leading someone. But you see, if we're talking about being used of God in a special way, in a special ministry, a special platform, that has to be something that God does and not just man promoting himself. Because God is the one who chooses who he uses. You know, it's amazing. Man's choice can be stopped by man, but nobody can stop God's choice. So I always say this, and nobody can stop the will of God in your life but you, because he's bigger than everybody else. But you see, nobody can stop God's choice. Nobody could stand before Moses all the days of his life. That's what the scripture says. Nobody could stand before him. Not because he carried a big stick, not because he was such a bad dude, because he was carrying God's stick. Because God's power backed him up. God chooses leaders that he can trust. Important principle. Hebrews 3:5 says, and Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant. He was a faithful servant. You see, the Lord knew that he was trustworthy, and he trusted him with so much power. You know, they say that power corrupts, but Moses remained faithful and true to God, even though he had so much power entrusted to him. He learned his place sometime in that 40 years on the backside of the desert. He learned to take the role of the servant and let God be God. Great leaders are humble. At 40, he's this self-confident man, mighty in word and deed. And at 80, here's what he says to the Lord in Exodus 3:11, when he calls him, when God calls him, Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? He doesn't say, God, I'm your man. He says, who am I? He realized that he couldn't do it in his own strengths and abilities. Who am I? See, self-appointed leaders, they always talk about their strengths and abilities. When you read resumes of pastors, they usually sound like they can do it with or without the Lord's help. I'm just saying. It's amazing how people embellish resumes, and pastors are no different, I guess. But here's the thing. Moses wasn't like that. I mean, if you would have read his resume, so what have you been doing for the last 40 years? Well, see, I killed the guy, and so I've been hiding out in the desert taking care of sheep. I mean, who wants to hire that guy? And then the interview. So you're the guy that we want. I can't do it. I can't. Worst interview ever. But God knows what he's doing. He knows that this humble man will serve him faithfully. What a training ground Midian was for Moses. Exodus 4:10-13, Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. This is the guy that the scripture said was mighty in word. So the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. But he said, O Lord, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomsoever else you may send. When the Lord tells Moses he wants him to do it, Moses just flat out says, I can't do it. And it just shows it once again that it's not about the strength of man. It's about the power of God. Yes. Numbers 12:3 tells us this about Moses. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men who were on the face of the earth. Another translation just simply says he was the most humble man in the world. Amazing to be such a leader of so many people, a great leader. He was humble. You see, he let God be God, and he was the servant. And you know, whatever role in leadership we have, we need to be humble before God and let God be God. Because when we have that humility, we are always dependent on the Lord. That's a really good place to be. Here's another principle of leadership from this great leader, is that we have to always be dependent on the Lord. Anytime you think, I got this, you are headed for trouble. I know from experience, there are things in areas where I thought that I had it together, where I thought I was strong. And you know what? It doesn't matter how good you think you are at something. You need to realize that you need God's help. Sooner or later, you're going to need God's help. You need to just depend on the Lord and trust Him always. Stay humble before the Lord. Great leaders depend on the Lord totally. God doesn't use the proud. He doesn't give grace to the proud. He resists the proud, the self-seeking, the self-sufficient. He uses the humble that trust Him. And Moses knew he couldn't do anything without God's power. In Exodus 33, 12 through 16, Moses said to the Lord, See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know your name, know you by name, and you found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider this nation as your people. And he said, My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And then he said to him, If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people upon the face of the earth. In other words, Moses says to God, If you're not going to go with us, I don't want to do this. We're not going. You got to go with us. You see, Moses blatantly says, I got to have your help. We can't do this without you. And we need to realize that it's the same for us. You know, Jesus says in John chapter 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. And I always say it this way because it needs to be said, you can do a whole lot of things without Jesus. All kinds of stuff, all day long without Jesus. What Jesus means when he says, apart from me, you can do nothing, is he is saying you can't do anything that's fruitful, anything that makes a difference for eternity, anything life-changing that impacts or helps somebody else in a spiritual way without him. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And you see, so as a spiritual leader, We have to realize that we are totally and completely dependent on the Lord. As long as we think we can do it without Him, we fail when it comes to spiritual leadership. Great leaders have an intimate relationship with God. This is one of the ways that Moses just is kind of on a different level, but it is a challenge to all of us to draw closer and to learn to be more intimate with the Lord and to spend time in His presence. Exodus 33 and 11, it says, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." I don't know exactly how this was, but it seems to be implied that Moses just had conversations with God. He spoke to him face to face as a man with his friend. I don't know how many of us get to that place. I've heard people talk that way, but to be honest, it didn't sound like what they called a conversation with God was really anything between them and God at all. But here's what I do know, is the more that we choose to spend time in His presence, the more that we choose to do what Jesus said to do in Revelation chapter 3 and open that door, He'll come in and sup with us. You see, the more that we do that, the more intimate we become with Him, the closer, and the more that we are led of Him, the more that we do hear His voice and know what we're supposed to do. And you know what? We can't really help anybody spiritually if we don't know what we're supposed to do. We got to be led of the Lord. And so we need that kind of intimacy. You know, Moses, this great leader, had such a close relationship with God. But all of us need to desire that and pursue that. You know, whether you're leading in your home or a ministry or a church or a lost friend to Jesus, we can't really lead without His leading. We need His leading always. He led the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. He was a faithful servant of God. And during that time, the Lord raised up a new generation to go into the promised land. But Moses missed it. Now, if you read the Bible, you see that Moses covered not just chapters, but many books of the Bible. There's so much there about Moses, and I didn't have time tonight. We could talk about Moses for about 3 weeks without stopping the service. You know what I'm saying? But I just want to, I'm going to wrap this up with this. So Moses' weakness at 40, in his own strength, he tried to do it his way. And that same weakness comes back when he's 120 years old. And the people are all complaining for water. And Moses goes to the Lord, and the Lord tells him to speak to the rock, and the water will flow out. But Moses, once again, does it in his own strength, in his own way, and he hits the rock. And the Lord told him, because you did this, you'll see the promised land, but you won't enter in. And here's what I have to say about this great leader. Even great leaders have weaknesses. Even great leaders blow it sometimes. But he is still a great leader. And I just want to read to you, let me give you one more principle. So he has one more task to perform. Great leaders pass on the leadership mantle. The Lord told Moses in Deuteronomy 3:28, "But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. See, this great leader raised up his replacement. This is something that is so often missing in the body of Christ. When a great leader moves to a different area of ministry or moves on or passes on, so often there's just a big hole. And I want to tell you that a great leader doesn't do that. A great leader disciples and trains and raises up their replacement. And the Lord told Moses to do it, and he did. So he raised up Joshua, and Joshua was ready to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. But I want to read to you what the scripture tells us about the end of Moses' life. Deuteronomy 34, 4 through 12, it says, he says, "This is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him." Talked about this Sunday, that laying on of hands, how powerful that is. "He laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and in all his land. And by all that mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel." That was the end of Moses in the Old Testament, but then he shows up in the New Testament. Jesus goes up to a high place on a mountain. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration. And while he is on this mountain, he is transfigured, where his clothes literally glowed white. And two people from the Old Testament show up, Elijah and Moses. Think about this, this great leader. Yes, he blew it. Yes, he paid a price, but he's still a great leader in God's eyes. And Elijah and Moses appeared to the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration before he was to face all that he was about to in his passion. I'm just telling you, this was a great leader and a great example to us. And I believe there's some principles here for us tonight. I challenge you and encourage you to get these down in your heart, as it can make a difference, even in your own family, these principles. Stand with me. We're going to pray.